Yes, it's so taboo.
Yeah, remove the stigma.
Yeah, so thanks everybody for sharing your stories and stuff, because it's not easy, and removing the stigma of the API is not talking about the feels, because we got some validity, man. So, Sam, want to take us out there? You've been listening to Pacific Underground. Make sure to tune into our next show next Wednesday on March 8th at 4 p.m. for a special Women's Day special episode. We'll be talking about what it means to be a woman in 2017. We'll be sharing stories about life in America from an API perspective, so tune in. In the meantime, check us out online at pacificunderground.org and on the socials at PAC Underground. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. Real quick, Jason Chu, rapper Jason Chu, why don't you give us a little plug about the album that we're listening to right now?
That's right, the new album.
The new album, Arrivals, is out now. iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, Tidal, all that. Just search for Jason Chu, Jason C-H-U, on any of that. That's at Jason Chu Music. It's great to be with y'all.
Okay, for all of Pacific Underground, thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Oregon Action Plan, Immigration Rights, on Sunday, March 19th at the Concordia University Library in Portland. Oregon Action Plan is a series of events to inform and empower our community. This first event will focus on immigration in Oregon. How is what's happening on the national level affecting people in Oregon? What are organizations doing to support and protect their communities? And what can allies do to be effective and supportive? Again, that's Oregon Action Plan, Immigration Rights, on Sunday, March 19th at the Concordia University Library, 2800 Northeast Liberty Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Please join us on Saturday, March 25th for an Archives Database Edit-a-thon and party. This event will run from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. We are recruiting current and past KBOO volunteers and listeners who hold knowledge of KBOO's 49-year history, and we are recruiting archivists, librarians, and any other person that enjoys information seeking and data entry to document this collective knowledge. This event is free and open to the public, but we need you to register so we can plan for the event. Find out more by emailing archive@kboo.fm or online at kboo.fm/editparty2017.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, March 3rd, 2017. And you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your Antifa fabulous radio, 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM, everywhere. Just like the weather, that's right. We have it here, we have it there, we've got it everywhere. Something that the entire world shares and we don't think about much. And especially when it's somebody else's problem, especially when it's in an African nation or perhaps a Middle Eastern nation. Of course, that's their problem, not ours, right? So today, probably a bit of rain rolling in and a high around 48. For tonight, rain rolling out with a low around 38. Tomorrow, again, got a high around 45 and more showers coming down tomorrow night. We've got lows around 37, and again, likelihood of a damp night. Sunday, pretty much the same thing. It's going to be a constant rolling panoply of clouds. It's like an abstract painting that never stops. It's performance art with the wind. And it's always there for us. So have a look up in the skies, feel the rain on your face, and watch the beauty of it all. That said, it's heating up out there in the world far beyond and far too close to Cascadia's emerald reality. Right now, the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press, we have tried to get someone from the Reporters Committee to join us today, but these are very busy times for a lot of people we want to talk to. Some of the people we don't want to talk to, but we contacted anyway, don't return our calls. It's a bit frustrating. But nonetheless, one has to keep trying. So one did keep trying until about 3 a.m. That said, this is important. The Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press, whether you're a reporter or not, I don't think, again, like the weather, we don't appreciate the press until we look around and it's gone. So Donald Trump is doing everything he can to bury the press, the media, as we know it, and as we have so often ripped it to shreds. And now, funnily enough, we're saying, come back, please, we'll help you, we'll strengthen you, here, take my hand, walk with me, and all that. But because of the threat that Donald Trump poses, he would like to stamp it out. Steve Bannon in particular. Bannon is probably smarter than one might imagine, and that's even more terrifying than Bannon unimagined. So taking that into account, and looking at the disarray the press itself now appears to be in, and the amazing strength of Trump's Twitter presence, we don't realize, I think, that there is a whole parallel universe right now in America. We have our own reality here. And we're drifting farther and farther from the other side of America, without either ignoring it or perhaps without realizing it. And again, we with much talk of solidarity with so many other groups of mutual interests, and yet it would be good to have perhaps a little bit more solidarity amongst ourselves, a little bit tone down the harsh criticism and let people speak their minds, whether we like to hear it or not. We often counsel other groups to listen whether they like it or not, and we might well take our heed our own counsel and listen, or at least give ground to others who might not take a tone that we approve of, but nonetheless are doing their level best to say what they mean. And that said, a little bit more on the press release, because it is important. This was just yesterday. More than 80 groups, including the Reporters Committee, signed on to a statement condemning the attacks on the press that have begun and intensified. I'm not reading this, I'm paraphrasing. Now, of course, our government and indeed democracy are dependent on a free and independent press. But when an administration decides to shut out reporters from a press briefing, it is taking the choice about where to get news away from the public and putting it in the hands of the government. That's frightening. Or it should be. Or it should at least to get your attention. That's because this is not what a free press looks like or sounds like. When federal prosecutors subpoena journalists to testify about confidential sources and reporting, that's not press freedom. Last week, the Reporters Committee stood alongside a journalist, and, well, this was Tom Sepulveda, fighting such a subpoena would have threatened the ability to effectively report actual news, which is a true threat to this administration, whose are followers, if you put an ear to the ground every once in a while. Trump's followers do believe everything that he says. They believe everything that Sean Spicer announces, and when Spicer loses it completely on camera, they're forgiving, where they would never have been quite so forgiving were it to anyone else, anyone outside their charmed circle. So that said, let's get on to what happened just before Trump took office. That's something that happened really, in a way, out of sight, out of sound, because it was of great importance to the future of our nation. The Democrats and Obama's staff rushed to rescue documents that the Trump administration would very likely prefer to lose during the chaos of this transition from the Obama administration to Trump's administration. So revelation coming just as the statement from Reporters Committee on Freedom of the Press emerges. And here's another note in history. From 1917 to 2017, February, March, Russian Revolution is 100 years old. Think about that for just a moment. In the Obama administration's very last days, some White House officials were engaged in a massive effort to provide stopgap measures on Trump's efforts to spread and Russia's efforts to undermine the election, no matter what people say about it. It's fine to say, well, that didn't happen, and Russia was not involved. But following the trail, that is where it leads, and it's fine, you know, deny it or manage that information any way you want, but that was where it leads, and I don't want to take a position on this. If I were taking a position on this, I would tell you, and in this case, I think it's better to stand back and watch how events unfold. So on that note, former American officials say that they had two goals in their effort. One was to ensure that the meddling wasn't duplicated in the future, and also to leave a clear trail of intelligence for government investigators. American allies, that would be, of course, clearly the, if we have any left, do we? look around. So mainly the British, the Dutch provided information describing meetings in European cities between Russian officials and others close to Putin, Vladimir Putin, and Russian president. Associates of President-elect Trump, according to three former American officials, have all testified to this and requested anonymity for obvious reasons. It's probably getting more dangerous, and I would hazard a guess that in a year or so it will be, in fact, a really deadly, dangerous game. To engage in the act of actually reporting what goes on around us all the time, but out of sight and out of mind. Separately, so American intelligence agencies had intercepted communications of Russian officials, some of them within the Kremlin, and they were discussing contacts with Trump associates. These disclosures about the contacts came as even more questions were raised about Jeff Sessions and his ties to the Russians. We had yesterday, James Henry joined us, and he began describing some of the key players. We are about to reach the antics of Paul Manafort. We did begin with the